Father, we're grateful for the day, and we're thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're grateful to be seated in Him, seen complete in Him, and in the provisions that He's provided. We pray Your Spirit would guide us now, and we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're looking at the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things when we study the epistle to the Colossians is that there was an error in the area that was coming along and competing with the Colossians for how to direct their faith and how to live their Christian life. And we see that error showed up in the appearance of philosophy, or through philosophy, or just the love of wisdom. And I want to tell you a little story here. There was a guy who was a very, very wealthy man. And he had a gated house, and he had all the wealth that you could think of. And so he was able to meet all of the physical necessities. He's able to live in luxury. Anything that had to do with the physical realm, he had the money to pay for it all. So from a world system perspective, he had it all. But this guy was held up, and he got hit on the head. And he forgot who he was. And so he became a street person. And so he didn't know who he was, and he began to, he lived on the street. And the struggles of being a street person and trying to take care of just his basic physical needs became a real challenge. Sleeping at night in parks, without blankets, and not having some of the comforts. And so it kind of became an ironic story, because here you had a man who was extremely wealthy, but he didn't know what he had. When he lost his memory, he didn't realize what he had. And so he was living a life of poverty, even though he was wealthy. Well, when we come to the Word of God and we take a look at it and we find out what we have in Christ, and I've said before, we have it all. If you turn with me to Ephesians 1:3. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3. And just remind ourselves what Scripture says. And so the illustration was one based on physical, material things. But for the Christian, we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And so in Ephesians 1:3, we read, "Blessed is the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ." And so there's a real important word there, and it's translated as all. All spiritual blessings. And so we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, though, in the heavenlies in Christ. And so the wealth that we have in Christ, I can't begin to even touch on in our allotted time. I mean, we could spend a lifetime talking about the wealth that we have in Christ. Well, when we come to the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians, these believers with this error, there's the potential that this error is going to cause them to forget who they are in Christ and the wealth that they have in Christ. And so Paul, if we pick up just over in Colossians chapter 2, 2:6, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And so walk, order your life, order the things generally concerning your life in Him. And then he's going to give some further explanation, some compelling reasons to do so. In verse 7, he says, just having been rooted. And so just having been rooted, it's a present passive participle. So somebody else did the rooting. Having been rooted and presently being built up in him and being established by the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In verse 8, Paul says here, beware lest any man spoil you or just carry you off as plunder through philosophy and just empty deceit. Just empty, it says vain deceit, just that's our word for empty, kenos, without content, deceit or delusion. Measured by or according to the tradition of men, according to the rudiments of the world, and not according to or measured by Christ. And so there's the real potential here that this error could lead them into areas that wouldn't be according to or measured by Christ. Now in verse 9, of course, this is where we were last week. And Paul says, for or because in him, talking about in Christ, dwells or settled down and at home all the fullness of the Godhead or deity bodily. And so, in other words, in Christ Jesus bodily, there's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking in him bodily as to regards to his deity. And so even though he is human, he's attached his person to a human nature, he's still God. And so what we want to touch on then, it's out of his fullness that we all receive. And so we're going to come back to that. Last week we went to John chapter 1 and verse 16, and we'll go back there a little later, time permitting. But it brings us to our verse today in Colossians 2:10. And the King James reads here, and ye are complete in him, which, or I'll just translate it, who is the head of all principality and power. So we'll talk a little more about this. But you, he says, you all, talking to these Colossians, you believers, are complete in him. Now we have what's referred to in the Greek here as a periphrastic construction. And so I'm just going to touch on this. We're not going to get real heavy into the Greek, but you just should know a couple of the important things about this periphrastic construction. So this periphrastic construction, though, it's a periphrastic perfect. And so what that means is we have the I-me verb here coupled with a participle, and this is a present or a perfect passive participle. And so you have the I me verb, which is translated are, you are, and then we have this perfect passive participle that we see translated as complete. Now the perfect passive participle, it has the idea that something that's happened with an abiding result. So it's a state. They're in a state. And so this periphrastic construction, and the reason I'm taking time to try and articulate this, is it becomes intensive in force. Paul uses this really to draw attention and to intensify the force of what he's saying. And so it really accentuates what he's saying here regarding the abiding results of the believer's completeness in Christ, is what he's doing. And so this is how Kenneth Wiest, in his translation, which is an expanded translation. And so for the one word that we have translated in the King James version anyway, is you are complete. The one word complete there, it comes from the verb play ra'o, which means to fill or to make full. And it's a perfect passive participle. So the perfect, remember, that means something that's happened with the abiding results that you're in a state of. And so remember, in the passive, I shouldn't have to explain that. Somebody else is doing the action in the passive. So when Paul says, "In you are," that's our, the "are" is our I-me verb. He says that in a present active indicative. That's you are continuously in him. And then we get to our perfect passive participle. And this is how Kenneth Weiss translates it. He says, "Having been completely filled full with the present result that you are in a state of fullness." Now that is a translation, although it's a fat translation, of one word in the Greek. And so you can see, the Greek was very descriptive, very precise. And that's actually not a bad translation because it grabs a lot of the different aspects of that perfect passive participle. And so when we look at pleirao, and it just literally means to make full, to fill up a deficiency, to bring to an end, or to fill up to the full. And so to fill up a deficiency. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to just read this again with Kenneth Weiss' translation. He says, "In you, Colossians, all you Colossians, you Colossians are continuously in him," talking about in Christ, "having been completely filled full with the present result that you are in a state of fullness." In other words, Paul is really intensifying here with the Greek the truth that the abiding results of the believer's completeness in Christ. And so there's nothing lacking positionally. We lack nothing positionally. We have it all. And so I just want to come back. Now, we only have four occurrences in the New Testament where we have pleirao in a perfect passive participle. And so I thought we would we'd take a look at some of those. Oh, and before I do that, I guess I do want to take the time to do this. And so when he says, "And you are continuously in him, complete," or in a state of being, in a state of fullness, I just want to talk about in him briefly, because we know believers, we were placed in him, in Christ, by spirit baptism. And so I know this is going to be familiar, but I want to do this just to put this into mind. And so if we just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, and we can see that it's by spirit baptism, though, that we enter into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." I'm talking about the body of Christ. "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one Spirit." Now, so we see that it's by Spirit baptism. But it's God is the source of that. When somebody believes the gospel, they're not the source of that saving faith. It's out from God as to source. He's the one who's the source of us being in Christ. And so I just want to illustrate that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's pick up in verse 26. And I'm going to read down through verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should," and it reads in the King James, "glory in his presence. And it's just our word here, the word they translated glory should be translated boast. It's our word for boast. That no flesh should boast in his presence. And in the Greek, it's literally before the God. That no flesh should boast before the God. Now in verse 30, we see that God is the source of our being in Christ. It says, but of him. And it's the of is a translation of the Greek preposition ek. But out from him as to source, talking about God, are ye in Christ Jesus. And so it's a real clear statement in the Greek, in God's word, that he's the source of us being in Christ. Out from him are ye in Christ Jesus, who, and I'll change the order of translation here in the English a little, just to reflect the Greek, who is made unto us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that is not glorying but boasting, let him boast in the Lord. And so it's out from God that we're in Christ. And so we can look at other verses in Scripture and we can see that believers, now when we believe the gospel for initial salvation, we may have thought at the time that we were generating the faith on our own to believe, but we know from God's word that that's not the case, that he actually gives us, he supplies the faith for us to believe. And we can see this illustrated just over in Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 29. And here Paul says, for unto you it is given. And I would just translate this, it was given. It's used in it's the verbal for grace in an aorist. And so, unto you it was graciously given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. And this is the eis preposition, so I just translate it literally into, to believe into him, but also to suffer for his sake. Or on behalf of him, or for the sake of him. And so it was given, though, graciously given, to believe into him. And so God even supplies the believing faith. And so you can see that matches up perfectly with what we read over in 1 Corinthians 1:30. God is the source. He's the source of us being in Christ. If I could muster up my own faith to believe the gospel, then they would contradict that verse. then I would be the source, because that faith would have been something I generated. But God gives those that he's chosen, he gives them the faith to believe. And so he's the source of us being in Christ. And so now as we come back to Colossians 2:10, and Paul says, and you Colossians, you plural, you all, are continuously in him, just in a state of having been completely filled full with the present result that you are, fullness in him, in Christ. And so here we see that positionally there's nothing lacking for the Christian. And so this matches up with what we know about Scripture. He's already said, by the way, over in Colossians 1:14, talking about our position in Christ. He says, in whom we have complete redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so it's in him that we have the standing before God the Father. And that standing is based on the work in person of Jesus Christ. And the Father sees us in him. Now, I wanted to go back and just look at these other perfect passive participles that we have of plero in the New Testament. So there's only three others. And so this is the word that you see translated in your English as complete. And so in your King James, you read, and you are complete. And it comes from plero, which just literally means to make full, to fill up a deficiency. And so let's go to our first occurrence is over in Romans 15, 14. We can just get an idea of this word. Again, this is a perfect passive participle. And here we're going to see it translated just filled. And let's read verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. In verse 13. And so that's our play Ra'u also. And peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Not through but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled, and here's our word, here's our perfect participle, in a state of being full, or fullness, with all experiential knowledge, able to admonish, or the idea of warn one another. And so there's an illustration of the word used in another place. Let's go back to Philippians in chapter 1, and we'll see this word used in Philippians 1:11. And let's back up to verse 9. And we're going to see it translated being filled in verse 11. And Paul, I'll pick up in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in a full experiential knowledge and in all, and I'm going to translate this, King James translates it judgment, but I just translate it a perception, a discernment or perception. And then verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent or differing, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the abiding result that you are full with the fruit of righteousness, which are not by, but through, which are through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so there is our third occurrence of the four, if we count Colossians 2:10. And then the fourth account in the New Testament is back in Colossians, and we see it used in 4:12. And so here we see Epaphras, who I believe was probably the pastor of this group in Colossae, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect. Just a word for mature ones. And so here we see that they may stand mature ones and complete in all the will of God. And so here we see it translated complete. But it's a perfect passive participle. And I will mention that there's a textual problem here. And so in your interlinear, you can see it's not the exact same word that we have over in Colossians 2:10. But there is a textual problem here. And it really becomes an issue of the majority text versus the critical text. Although P46 is over on the majority, I think there's a couple others that are over there. So it's there is a textual problem here, but if we go with the majority text, it would be the same word, and we would translate it here, that they would stand mature ones and complete, or that they would stand mature ones in a state of being made full, or being having been made full with the abiding result that they are full in all of the will of God. And so anyway, you get some biblical illustrations here of how Paul used this word in a perfect passive participle. And so when we talk about pleroo and the verb, though, to fill, to make up what's lacking, Paul uses that five times in Colossians. And so we've looked at two that we've seen used as perfect passive participles in 2:10 and 4:12 here. But let's take a look at the other three uses of pleroo over in Colossians 1:9. And so here we see, again, in verse 7, we see a mention of Epaphras. In verse 8, we see Paul says, "Who also declared unto us your love by the Spirit." And so we see these are spiritual Christians that Paul's writing to. And then in verse 9, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray," just praying for you, "and asking that you might be filled." And so here's our word, and it's an aorist passive subjunctive for those that are interested in that. But that you might be filled, the idea of filled to the full, to make up what's lacking, or make up any deficiency with. And so that you might be filled with the full experiential knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the next occurrence in Colossians of pleroo is in Colossians 1:25, where Paul's talking about that he came to be a minister, a servant. He says, "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill," to fill up to the full, to make up anything that was lacking of the Word of God. And so here we see it translated, though, to fulfill. And lastly, in our epistle to the Colossians, we have it, and so this would be the fifth occurrence. We have it in 2:10, and we had it in 4:12, and then we've looked at Colossians 1:9 and 1:25, and we have it again in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 17. And here, speaking to Archippus, and we see it translated to fulfill. And so here Paul says, "And I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, that you might be that you might fulfill it," though, talking about the ministry, "that you might fulfill it." Now I do want to go over to the sister epistle to the Colossians, and that's over in Ephesians, of course. And we're going to see pleroo used there. And so just remember pleroo, that they translated complete here, that you are complete. Just the idea of you are made fullness, that there's nothing lacking. All deficiencies have been made up in Him, in other words. But over in Ephesians 3:19, and let's back up to Ephesians 3:17, and so that Christ may dwell. And this is kata oikeo, and so it's more than just dwell, though, that Christ would settle down and be at home. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts through faith. And it should be through, not by here, through faith. That ye, having been rooted with the abiding result and having been founded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to experientially know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled. And so here's play Rao. You might be filled to the full with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. And so this brings me back to be filled with all of the fullness of God. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, he's the God-man. And this brings me back to John chapter 1 and verse 16. And John writes a number of years later. And remember, John, in the Gospel of John, deals a lot with the deity of Christ. But over in John chapter 1, let's read verse 15 and 16. John bare witness of him and cried, and this would be talking about John the Baptizer, cried saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he continuously was before me. And of," or just because, "out of his fullness have we all received, and grace instead of grace." And so out of his fullness have we all received. And so John's talking really about all Christians, out of his fullness. And so he is, as the God-man, he has all of the fullness of deity is settled down at it and at home in him bodily. He's also perfect humanity. And it's out of his fullness that we receive, and it's in him that we are made full, or made fullness. No, so it's not that we become God, but in him there's nothing lacking. And in him there's nothing lacking. And so this is dealing with, and I bring this back to all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We have it all. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to go back and just pick up verse 19 just to catch that. Talking about Christ, for here we read, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Just settle down and be at home. All fullness. And so I believe this ties in with our Colossians 2:9 passage. Fullness. There's nothing in him pertaining to his deity that is lacking. He has all of the fullness of the Godhead. And so he becomes really the intermediary between man and God. And so what we have is we have a problem in this Colossians in the Lycus Valley, where we're going to see that there was some worshiping of angels. There was some emphasis on perhaps a different mediators between man and God. But how could there be anyone different or other than Jesus Christ being the God-man? And so when Paul says, "And you are complete in him," or "you are in a state of being made fullness in him," he says, "Who is the head of all principality and power?" And that's our King James Version. And so King James reads "which," but I would just translate this "hos" is here as "who." It's talking about Christ. He is the head. Now, when we're talking about the head can be referring to a couple different things. You know, the head could be talking about the top, the head of the corner, complete supremacy. But we also see it used as the head as the head of the body, meaning the center of direction for the body, the center of the vital force of energy of life, or it could be used of the head of the corner, the top, the supremacy. And so here he says, "Who is the head of all principality, and I would just translate this next word, and it says power. It's our word for exousia, authority. And so let's come back and let's just pick up on this concept of a head briefly. Now in Colossians 1:18, and you know already that the end of chapter 1 in the epistle to the Colossians really emphasizes the deity of Christ, that he's the eternal Word. He's the eternal Son of God. And so you see that in these previous verses here, and we get to verse 18, and he says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." And so he's the center of life and of direction for the body. He's the head of the church. Sure, it's talking about the top, but he's also talking about one body, and it's not a headless body. Christ is the head. And so he's the head of the body and the church. The church is the body is the church. And so we see that in Colossians 1:18. Now I mentioned that there was a problem with angel worship in this air in the Lycus Valley. They were giving more credence to some spirit beings rather than the creator of the spirit beings. And so that doesn't make any sense at all if you understand. That's why Paul goes through such extensively in showing who Jesus Christ is, because it doesn't make any sense to not give Jesus Christ his full weight and for them to be giving credence or more weight to spirit beings. And so you can see that if we go over to Colossians 2:18 and 2:19. He says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And so here you see in verse 19, he says, "And not holding the head," it comes from our word to grasp. It's one of the power words, but just not grasping the head. They're not giving the full weight to Jesus Christ, who's the head of all things. We know he's the head of the body of the church, but he's also the top of all creation. And so here we see that not holding the head, and then he says, "out from which," and it's an ek preposition, so I translate it that way, "out from which," or "out from whom, all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered," just being supplied, "and knit together, grows," or increases, "with the increase of God." And so you see that they were looking at angels, and they were giving these angels more weight. And at the same time they were doing that, they were not giving the head. They were not grasping who's at the apex, who's at the right hand of God. Well, it's Jesus Christ. And so humanity is at the right hand of God. And so you have humanity that was below, it was at the bottom of the totem pole of God's creation, below spirit beings. But because who Jesus Christ is and what he's accomplished, now he's at the right hand of God as the God man. And so he says, "Who is the head?" Now, I want to go back, maybe for time's sake, but you can see some other references to Jesus Christ being the head of the church back in Ephesians. You see that in Ephesians 5:23. I'll just give these references. Let's do go to one other one in Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 22. Because this one we can kind of see in relationship here to spirit beings. So in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, and I want to back up to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, or that's a strength word, I just translate that, His mighty strength, talking about God, in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And so here we have four different ranks of spirit beings. It says far above all principality and power, or just rule and authority and lordships and dominion, of power and lordships, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all. And so here we see head used in the sense of the top, the supreme. Gave Him to be head, and just in the realm of His humanity, to be head over all for the church. And so I translate this as a date of advantage. It's for the church. This was done, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all things in all ways. And so, as I mentioned, I did mention Ephesians 5:23. We won't go there. But if we go to Ephesians 4:15 again. And speaking the truth, or just truthing it, by love, we may grow into Him, or this is ice, because of Him in all things. Not which, but who is the head? Even Christ. And so, remember now, He's head of all, as far as He's the top, He's supreme over all. But as head of the body, that describes a special relationship that He has to His body, which we're a part of. Remember, we're one with Him and with one another because we're part of the body of Christ. And so here, He's the head, even Christ. And, it says in verse 16, out from whom the whole body, being fitly joined together and compacted through that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by the immeasure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself by love. And so, when we come back to our Colossians 2:10, and Paul says, and you are complete in Him. You are in a state, being a state of made fullness in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. And our word for that they translated principality, it's our Greek word for our case, and it has the idea of it can be used to describe a beginning, or it could be used to describe of a one vested with authority. And it's the word that's used to describe the certain group of spirit beings where the fallen spirit beings came from. And so when we come back in here, and let me get to Colossians here real quick. But it is in a singular here, which is kind of interesting. He had used it earlier in the plural in Colossians chapter 1, 16. He had used these words in plural when he talked about Christ was the creator. And He created all things that are in the heavens and that are on earth. And then he lists the four realms of spirit beings. So let's read that in Colossians 1:16. And so this is speaking of Christ as creator. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heavens and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." And so here you see it translated as principalities or powers again. These are, we could translate these as rulers or authorities. These are different groups of spirit beings. And he created all of them. He was the creative agent in the Godhead who created these spirit beings. And it says, "And all things were created through him and because of him." And so then when he says in 2:10, "Who is the head of all principality or rule," if we just keep it singular, and not power, but authority, of all rule and authority. In other words, you can't go any higher. You cannot go any higher. He's the head. He's the supreme. He's the top. Now, he's head to us in a different way because he's the head of the body. And so he's the center of life for the Christ. He's the one who gives the Christ the direction, the energy for how it moves, how it operates. But he's head of all. I mean, meaning there isn't any there isn't any authority or rule higher than him. Now, he hasn't taken what's rightfully his. He still allows these spirit beings, these fallen spirit beings, to operate in certain realms of authority. But he will take what is rightfully his, and that's really to be head over all. Now, so we see that there's this problem in the area of not giving Jesus Christ his full weight in this heresy, in this philosophy that was invading the Lycus Valley. And we see that it did, there was an element of it, though, that related to worshiping of angels and giving them more weight than they ought to. And so you can see over, Paul's going to get to this when we get to Colossians 2:15. Now let's read 2:13. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him," talking about Christ, "having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled," and so here's our two words again, "principalities and powers." And so these are rulers and authorities. These would be fallen spirit beings. "And having spoiled," the word spoiled has the idea of disarming. "And having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And so he demonstrated who he was, and he disarmed them. And so he is the head of all, even these fallen spirit beings. Now, I just want to bring you over, when we talk about fallen spirit beings and how they still can affect Christians today, I want to go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 4. And in verse 1, here Paul, in writing Timothy, spoke prophetically, but I believe that Timothy could see these things happening as this was being read. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here Paul says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times And so in the latter times, that in a quality of latter seasons is kind of the idea here. Some shall depart from the faith. And so some are going to be misled, and they're going to depart from the faith, the body of doctrine of how Christians have victory over spiritual enemies. Giving heed to seducing spirits, just misleading spirits, just attending to these misleading spirits and doctrines, these teachings, these doctrines from not devils, but demons. And so here we see that Paul's even warning Timothy here that in a quality of the latter seasons, Christians will be departing from the faith. And they can be fooled. He tells Timothy not to be surprised by this. And he says, speaking lies by hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature from God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And so, anyway, we still these doctrines of demons. And so, I believe this does connect with the error that was in Colossae. We have this philosophy, and this philosophy was not giving Jesus Christ his full weight. And Paul wants to correct this. And so he goes about correcting their Christology. And as he corrects their Christology and he identifies who Jesus Christ is as the God-man, then they hopefully can have an appreciation for this, for what he's provided. And so it comes back to really the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ and the perfect provisions that believers have in him. And so it comes back to our position in Christ. And so, again, we see that mentioned over and over in this epistle to the Colossians. Now, I just want to go back and just we'll tie it up right now. If we go back to Colossians 1:13 and just bring this to mind, where Paul had reminded them that they had been delivered out from the authority of darkness. And so here we see God who's delivered us out from the authority. He says the power, that's our word for authority, the authority of darkness. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Just the Son of the love of him. And so we're in the kingdom, and this is a kingdom of priests, believer priests. And so we can offer sacrifices to God that are acceptable to him, and to this the kingdom of the beloved Son. And so he's talking to all believers. We've been delivered out from the authority of darkness, though. Now, if we go to Colossians 1:27, and we'll just put a couple things into mind here, and we'll call it a day. But remember, Paul had reminded them that Christ in them was the hope of glory. And so we know Christ indwells all believers as a result of regeneration, the new birth. And so here Paul says, to whom God desired to make experientially known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we've talked about this, but the hope of glory, it's just the hope, or the really the promise of matching up to God's opinion. And so we know that we can do that presently as we live in our position, where we're made fullness, where we live in the the perfect provisions that we have in Him. And so Paul in 1:28, he says, whom we preach or just proclaim, announce, talking about Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ, putting position into practice, learning how to live in those provisions where we have had all of our deficiencies taken care of. We have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And then if we go to Colossians 2:6, again talking about our position in Christ, and Paul says, and you have therefore received, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Order your lives in Him. He says, verse 7, having been rooted, and just translate this perfect passive participle, having been rooted with the abiding result that you're firmly planted and presently being built up in Him and being established by the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so now when we come back in 2:9, it says, because in Him is settled down and at home all the fullness of deity bodily. And you are continuously in Him, having been completely filled full with the present result that you are in a state of fullness. And I'll just add the ellipsis, in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, just the head of all rule and authority. And so, just to sum up, and I come back to my little story to begin the message of the rich man who had it all as far as material wealth, and he forgot who he was, and he lived on the street as somebody who didn't have any of those things. Well, for a Christian, we shouldn't be so caught up in the material things of the world. God's got us covered from the beginning to the end. We're just passing through. But in Christ, we have it all. And in Christ, all of our deficiencies are made up spiritually, mentally. This is why Paul would say over in Philippians 3:9, he wanted to be found in Him. Because he knows of the riches and the wealth that we have in Christ. And so for us to know who we are and to know what we have in Christ, we don't want to forget who we are. We don't want to forget where we're rich, where we're wealthy, where we have all our deficiencies made up. And so it's just a matter of keeping that in mind so we can put position into practice. And Paul's going to be leading up. We're going to spend the next couple of verses. He's going to come back and relate things in regard to our position in Christ. And ultimately, when we get into Colossians 3, Paul's going to remind them how to be doing this, how to be consistently putting position into practice. And that's where I'm threatening and I'm planning to slow down even more. In there, I'm going to use that as a jumping off point for a little while, just so we can pivot off of that word phroneo to reflectively think. And so we want to talk about that because it's practical. And so let's close and we can get on with the rest of whatever God has for us today. Father, we're grateful for the day and thankful for the opportunities that we've had to be in Your Word, to be with one another, and to be reminded of the provisions of grace and the complete sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ and the perfect provisions that we have in Him. May we be those that are continuing to learn and grow in putting our position into practice. And as we do that, we'll thank You as we give You glory. In Christ's name, amen.